Hey man,
Oh,
how
is
you
that what
doing?
you meant, Gary, when he told me to behave and be nice to be
Listen,
like
I
that?
just asked you to class things up a
I will
bit,
class
you
it up,
know?
Gary.
It's
Hello.
yeah.
Hello. 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 Hold on a
Listen,
second, everybody.
Jose, I like
Hurricane
you.
runs a
I'm
it's this is
here
an
and I'm here to
upscale
discuss
podcast.
great topics
This is
with my
different from
friends.
Breaking the Mold. Yes.
Jose, I like how you refer to Gary as a mold mate. Is he a slight retool and repaint?
Oh, let me get my tie on.
Definitely not. He's the one.
Let me get my tie on.
Can I say it? I'm the white repaint.
How much am I now that I have my tie on, Gary?
Hey everyone, HurricaneBX here. Before we get started, just need to shout out a member of the community, Josh Fisher. He underwent emergency surgery last week to have his right leg amputated just below his knee due to cellulitis and sepsis. A fundraiser has been established to assist with medical bills and the purchase of medical equipment that Josh is going to need to use at home once he's released from the hospital, including physical therapy, prosthetic leg, as well as antibiotics. Any and all assistance is greatly appreciated by Josh and his family. So if you have a minute, please take the chance to go check out his GoFundMe, which is very close to meeting its goal. Big shout out to everybody in the community that came forward and donated towards this cause. Even just showing support and words of encouragement goes a long way, guys. So please show support for a member of this community that's been down since day one, a big supporter of the Realm of Collectors and the entire Cool Table Network as a whole. Josh Fisher, wish you a quick recovery. I'm here for you, brother, and the entire community is here for you. All right, talk to you soon. What is going on, guys? Welcome to Verbally Challenged with HurricaneBX. I got a good show for you guys here today. Just first and foremost, want to thank you guys for the download, the stream, or however you are consuming this podcast. Really, really appreciate it. Please like, subscribe, share, all that good shit. As I hear, it really helps the show out. Got a good one for you here, as I said. Energon Addict, the analyzer Brian Brink, and G Money from Breaking the Mold, my brothers from there. They joined me for a Deadpool 2 discussion. Just fair warning, guys, we spoiled the shit out of this movie. Poor Brian, he hadn't seen the movie yet while we were having this discussion, and, you know, we spoiled it for him, but he didn't care. He was down for the cause. I think he got to see it sometime this week, so hope he really enjoyed it and hope to hook up with them real soon to speak about that and get his thoughts on the film now that he's seen it. So all right, guys, hope you enjoyed this discussion between Energon Addict, G Money, the analyzer, and myself, and I'll be back with you guys soon after this segment. All right, welcome back everybody. HurricaneBX here along with some friends of mine. Just first and foremost, want to just thank these guys very much for being here with me tonight. Let's run it down the line. First up, Brian Brink, how are you?
Hey, yo, I'm doing good. Oy. I got a fucking cold that I'm getting over, but it's getting great. It's awesome.
Well, welcome to Verbally Challenged, man. Thank you for being here. Next up, Energon Addict. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? What are we doing here tonight?
How you feeling? How you feeling, bro? Are you feeling good?
Feeling really good, you know?
I know you are. Yeah. I know you are. All right. And another one of my mold mates from Tuesday. G Money, what's going on, bro?
Dude, this is great. Thank you for having us here. It's I think it's going to be a lot of fun, be some good discussion.
Yeah, man.
Oh, is that what you meant, Gary, when he told me to behave and be nice? To
Listen,
like that.
I just asked you to class things up a
I
bit.
I will class
you know?
It up, Gary. Hello. Yeah. Hello. Hello. Hold on a second, everybody.
Jose,
Hurricane
I'm
runs
here.
A.
I'm
it's,
here,
this is an upscale podcast. This is different from Breaking the Mold. Yes.
Jose, I like how you refer to Gary as a mold mate. Is he a slight retool and repaint?
Oh, let me get my tie on.
Definitely not. He's the one.
Let me get my tie on.
Can I say it? I'm the white repaint.
How much am I now that I have my tie on, Gary?
Oh shit! Do you actually wear that for work?
I used to.
Oh, you don't anymore.
Like no, this now this your own is a little more cash. Button down with no tie.
His wife ties it for him.
No, Gary.
At the dining room table. Dave, do you just keep that at the dining room table?
No, my wife heard me.
Is that what you wear when you have to eat dinner there? You have to. Oh,
fuck you.
Oh shit, man. Well, guys, thanks for joining me tonight. I know Gary's really excited to discuss the topic we got for this evening. You know what I'm saying? Deadpool 2 just came out over the weekend. Like, we all got a chance to see it. Maybe some through questionable means.
Hush now.
Well, listen, I saw it in the theater, and I'm going to sound like I have a total man crush on Ryan Reynolds, but I will say, look, I appreciate him right in the role. I've liked him in Blade Trinity, which a lot of people don't really care for that part of that trilogy. But I remember when he was on, you know, all his movies, and he was on that TV show, Two Guys, a Girl, and the Pizza Place. So, and I also like Deadpool as a character. Anyone who knows me, you know, when I was in college, you know, been kind of giving away my age here a little bit, but that comic was relatively new and different. And I felt like that was one of the few comics I actually followed kind of from the beginning. So, you know, I have an affinity to everything that kind of goes into this. So I'm a bit biased, but I'm finally excited to talk about it with you guys, because my wife came with me, and God bless her. I love my wife tremendously. And we have kind of an unwritten agreement that she doesn't drag me to kind of the stereotypical chick flick, so to speak. Uh-huh. And at the same time, I don't drag her to the Marvel movies, you know, in that whole universe. But this is one franchise that she came to the first one in the theater with me. And she came with me last Saturday. She was one who got the tickets. Thursday. Thursday night. So it was pretty cool. You know, it's something that we're actually able to go see together, and actually she enjoyed it, but I still had to explain a lot of stuff to her. So it's fun to talk about it with people who you don't have to explain as much.
Gary, if your wife ever needs a wingman for a chick flick, just let me know. You can send her my
info. Oh, that's nice. If Dave
Cologne is busy, yeah. I'll let her know she's got options.
I got first dibs on that one, Brian.
I love how we could just fucking proposition each other's wives and shit like that, and none of us get mad at each other. Yeah?
You know, Jose, it's funny. That's a different topic maybe for another podcast, but it's a fine line between being respectful, right, and crossing that line, because listen, you know, the guys in the ROC and on Breaking the Mold, we pull some pretty attractive ladies. Anyway, I'm digressing. So, but yeah, I always say, listen, she could do a lot worse than anyone on this panel. So I'm fine.
That's a good way to look at it, actually.
Yeah,
that's a good
right. Look at it, you know? Let's get a realm for
realm. Oh, you gotta keep it in the family, bro. That's what we
always say. You have to. No.
Hey, Gary.
We have this on record.
Yes, it is. Yep.
Hey, Gary, can I get some backstory to your, I wouldn't say infatuation, but for your like of the Deadpool character? So I was just curious, what drew you to it at first? Was it the costume or the outfit?
I think it was just picking up and start reading. So I'll just very quickly, I was not a big comic person as a kid. I didn't have a ton of exposure to it. I knew who the characters were. You know, I'd seen whatever animation was on cartoons, right? As kind of was my thing. I didn't collect comics. In college, a good friend of mine, actually one of my best friends I'm still friends with, my roommate, was much more into comics. We got into Magic the Gathering, the card game, like very early on, like the very first, you know, I guess year it released, like 93, 94, it was my freshman year of college. And that took us into comic book shops. And in the comic book shops, I started looking at different titles. And you know how sometimes people find a music group and they like to be the first one to discover them amongst their friends, and kind of be like, hey, I told you to listen to that or try that, or I don't know, maybe they used to do that back in the day, but that's kind of where it came from. Yeah. You know, I was looking for a title to read and follow that wasn't as popular as some of the mainstream stuff. And this was right in the height of the mid-90s. So, you know, you had Spawn, and my friend's name was Sean. Sean was really, really big into Spawn and McFarlane and Spider-Man and what McFarlane did. So I was really trying to find my own kind of little genre that was a niche. And that's kind of, I think, what led me to, you know, that particular character. And then really, I just always liked the fourth wall break. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. And how they did it. So
that's cool, man. I'm glad Brian actually brought that up, like, because I'm going to ask the rest of you guys, like, basically, what's your background as far as like collecting comics and knowing like the history of the comics? Like, because it is an interesting question. a lot of the times the fandom gets upset, like at least more back in the day, I used to see it when, you know, things are changed from the medium, from comics to movies. And they're like, you know, like, damn, like, why can't the costume be like the comics? Or why can't the character, you know, be more like the way he is in the comics? Because back in the day, it used to be a pretty significant change sometimes between what you read on the page, you know, compared to what you saw on the screen. And I think Marvel Studios has done a great job of like giving you kind of like a newer, updated version of these characters, but they're still like iconic in a way. Like they're still their iconic versions, but updated for like the modern world. Brian, Dave, like, did you guys read comic books like growing up? Like, what's your experience with comic books in general?
Well, I never read much Marvel. I actually read mainly Transformer comics, believe it or not. I did have Secret Wars. I think that was the only real Marvel comic series I ever read as a kid. But Jose, it's funny that you mentioned that. For this character specifically, considering that, you know, that the first endeavor of putting Deadpool on the big screen was not exactly what people wanted. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah. And I think if I remember correctly, the person we have to thank for the Deadpool we're seeing now is the lead actor himself, right?
Yep. He's definitely a big drive and a big reason behind the push, like, for this film. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's been lobbying for this for years, you know, and thankfully it paid off, you know, with the first movie, because that thing had a budget of like 57 or 58 million and that thing made over 700 million worldwide. I believe, you know, so that's a significant return on investment right there.
So I think, you know, to your point, Brian, one thing, and again, just having followed both movies and reading a lot of different articles and stuff, I find it really interesting that not only did he champion for the character, but the things he did to get people to star in the movie, and, you know, some of the cameos in the first one and the second one, even the soundtracks. Again, Jose, I don't mean to tangents, but like, he, you know, Celine Dion wrote a song for the second movie.
Yeah,
and he got her to do it. Yeah, right. But he did it. He wrote her like a very nicely written letter, basically, you know, and just really, it's a rarity to show someone whose commitment and sense of ownership and some passion for the project was, you know, from the beginning throughout the execution and then to kind of the follow-up piece. It was, I don't know, I can really appreciate that work ethic, I guess.
Yeah. I think I can also appreciate Ryan Reynolds' just typical charm. He could probably get anybody to do anything.
Yeah. I get that from him. Like, you know, he could be probably a real charming dude, you know, and props to him, man. Like, this is definitely like a type of role that you could kind of say he was born to play. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because this, even in Blade Trinity, like you brought up, like, it's not viewed well by many people. Like, it's definitely not the best Blade movie. Like, I thought the second one was fucking off the wall. But, you know, I enjoyed Blade Trinity, just not as much as I enjoyed the, you know, the first and the second ones. And his style, like the comedy, the jokes, the, like what he was doing is basically almost like the same thing that we're getting here, you know, but we're getting it with the character, like kind of like how he is in the comics now. But Dust has brought up, like, on previous shows, like how, hey, he grew up with the original. I don't want to say grew up, but he knows the original incarnation of Deadpool, where it was more of like a knockoff off of Deathstroke the Terminator, even with the name, you know, Slade Wilson, right. Wade Wilson, you know, but he's definitely grown, you know, and the way they different direction that they went with the character. Like, Gary, like, I was going to ask you, was that when you first started reading Deadpool, was that your first experience with him, the way he is now, the slapstick, breaking the fourth wall type thing?
Yeah, I think that's because I didn't have like the DC reference. So I actually learned that like well after the fact, that there was a DC character that, you know, the name was essentially the same with a, you know, a couple letters being changed.
Yeah.
And what it was being modeled after. I just, you know, to be honest, again, this is the 90s. Oh God, I hate to even, you know, and for anyone who listens to this, you know, I went to college. I grew up in the Midwest. I went to college at University of Miami in Florida. So I was in Florida in 94, 95, 96. And if you go back and look at the fashion and what people were wearing, especially in South Florida then. So when we talk about the styles of the you know, the way things were drawn with the, you know, everyone jokes about the pouches and the exaggerated weapons and stuff like that. But it all just kind of fit in the timing for me, you know, in terms of just what I was used to as far as the environment. So it just all, I don't know, it didn't stand out. Not having that frame of reference, I just enjoyed, it was something new. It was fresh. It was I thought a unique perspective. I thought it was creative and, you know, it was just fun, I guess, you know, it just really kind of stood out to me.
So. Yeah. And Gary, in relation to Miami fashion and pouches, I have to ask you, did you have a fanny pack for every day of the week?
I didn't have a fanny pack, but listen, if you watch the movie Pain and Gain, right, with Dwayne Johnson and Mark Wahlberg, which, you know, is not a great movie, but it's supposed to take place in like 1995 in South Florida, the shoes, the shorts, that is what life was like. So when people talk about some extra pouches, you know, on a uniform, I'm like, that's really not a big deal because the colors and the, yeah, that what was going on down there was out of control.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dave, what was your experience? Have you experienced Deadpool in the comic book realm?
Yeah, I mean, I remember the comic book being a little, I don't know, to me, like, darker. I could be wrong. Like, for an example, like Vanessa, right? His girlfriend, right? Yeah. They make her out to be what, like a stripper in the movie or something like that?
Yeah.
She's like a full on, like,
hooker, really. She's really a prostitute.
Yeah.
And, like, even though, like, it makes it more interesting that he, like, actually cares for somebody or whatever, but in the comic book, it wasn't so transparent that I remember. And I remember her being different, but I guess that could come in a future movie, you know? Like, she was, well, I think she was like a mutant herself or something.
Okay. What's your background? Like, what's your background? Like, what, just comics in general? Were you a comic reader like growing up?
I was reading them in like the early 90s. And then I, again, like in the early 2000s.
Oh, right.
Like, I stopped probably in like the late 90s. And then picked it back up probably like 2003, 2004. And everything was different by then. But
yeah,
I started reading. Yeah,
Marvel guy?
Mostly Marvel, X-Men. Oh. Some, I have the X-Forces. A little bit of everything, really. Like, I have bins of comic books. Nothing that I could tell you that I finished or I still collect to this day, but I got a lot of some stuff.
You never know, dude. You should like maybe go through some of that stuff one day. Like, you probably, it hasn't been a while since you looked through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, so you could probably just go through that thing with like a current like price guide, and you never know, you might have some gems that you might have picked up while you were collecting. That goes for Brian or Gary too, if you guys have ever picked up comic books. Like, sometimes you just never know. A lot of the stuff from the 90s, not too much, because a lot of that stuff was overproduced and sure. That's, you know, almost kind of like crashed the industry because there was always like a new number one coming out.
Yeah, then you had three or four different variants.
The cover variants. Yeah.
Like, you had the one that came out only in like the newspaper shop that was worth something, and then anything that went was distributed wasn't. Yep. It was like crazy.
This one's
like
foil. This one's like, yeah, I'm with you. This one's gold. This one's silver.
I do have the original run of Transformers, and they shut up in price, you know, 10 years ago, right? I don't know what they're at now, but I do have one other one that I think has some value to it. It's the Batman Animated with Harley Quinn. Now, it's not the very first appearance of her, but it's the rerun of the New Adventures of Batman. But I think that one with Harley Quinn still has a nicer price tag on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you'd be surprised, because even though it's not first appearance, if it's still like an early appearance, yep, those books, you know, might not have been produced, you know, at a level as some other books, especially like that. I used to collect those at the time, Batman Adventures, like based off the animated series. Yep. And I'm sure those books weren't getting a run like the other mainline titles like at the time. So I'm sure if I dig through my boxes, I probably have that first issue with Harley Quinn somewhere.
Well, dude, I was talking to Dante from Nerd Rage Radio a couple of years ago, and he said that thing's going for pretty good money, because especially after Suicide Squad came out and all that other stuff. I mean, that was the birth of Harley Quinn. So,
yep.
So when did that comic come out, roughly? Like, what year?
That would have been in the 90s.
Early 90s. Like, so I would say Batman, the animated series, I think debuted in 92. So I think they started doing a comic probably around the same time. So 93, mm-hmm. 94. You know, around that time. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And she was a character that originated from that series. Like, she didn't originate from the comics first. She debuted in the animated series, and then they brought her into the comic book. So amazing to see that, like, a character just blow up like that, you know, from something like that, just a cartoon. Let's get to the main event. Deadpool 2 just came out. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to get some background on you guys, like, with the characters. But let's just run it down the line. Let's get your scores, and then let's just talk about the flick, what you enjoyed, what you didn't like, if anything, you know. So, Brian, what's your score?
Actually, I have not seen it.
So, oh.
So, all right, peace out.
I am here just to enjoy and add commentary and question. I do have a question about the character, but we can get back into that after you get through your rundown here.
All right, cool. Glad you don't mind getting spoiled then. All right, Dave, what do you think?
I give it a 7.5.
Okay.
Only because it was a very entertaining movie. I laughed a few times, but it could have been better, in my opinion. Like, it was just like kind of almost like it was thrown together. They had time to make it better than it was. I guess I didn't care for the plot point as much. You know, that's Cable coming in and I don't know. The whole Colossus and thing coming back, doing it like so almost like similar to the first movie.
Dave, may I ask a question? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask how he watched it. I'm just curious because I think it's important to know. Like, did you see it on your own or did you see it in the theater? Just say one or the other.
I saw it on my own.
Okay, that's all. That's fine.
I might have taken away from the experience. I might have given it like an 8.5 if I would have went to the theater.
I'm not saying that, but I will say, look, there's a lot of technology exists and people are excited. I'm the first to admit that theaters can be annoying, you know, at times, depending on who's there with you. But sometimes you miss out, I think, on a release or if someone's, you know, that's all. I just was curious.
No. That's all. And you know what? Like D, I'm sure Gary's not trying to like jab you, but I think it is a legit.
Oh, I don't care if he is.
You know?
Yeah. Listen, he likes my jabs. He likes them. Don't kid yourself.
No, I get it. No, it takes away from the experience. I mean, listening to something in a surround sound setting where it's huge and in front of your face might impact you more than watching something 6 inches in front of your face with earbuds on, you know? So I get it. Trust me. But I'm more of a story person. So if the story isn't that great and it's just a lot of laughs and, you know, explosions and stuff, it's cool to watch. And I'll watch that all day. I love it. But I'm not going to tell you that it's a great movie because I'm more for the experience. I want it to be a good movie. Like, Infinity War had that. It got you like, whoa.
That's not fair. That's not fair. Infinity War was 10 years in the making.
This is like a slapstick fucking action movie is what it is.
It's true. And that's Infinity Wars is 10 years of backstory, though. That's all.
Yep. There's a lot of culmination and buildup. No, it's true. Like, you know what? Essentially, they're both superhero films, so you can compare them. But the buildup to Infinity War, like, is unprecedented, like, compared to this.
No, it's not the same, but, you know.
Yeah. Look, they're both similar. There's a hero. There's an anti-hero. There's a team that's assembled to go against the bad guy. It's just a different outcome. I think it's just what's invested in the characters is different between the two.
Yeah. But so 7.5 is fair. I mean, that's not really like a bad score. Like, you enjoyed it, you know, and you enjoyed like what you saw, but maybe just too similar to the first one? Not enough different?
I mean, look, and you could say, Dave, you're bugging out. And this is me most of the time, honestly. By like the last like 15 minutes of the movie or when something happens towards the end, I already know that it's not going to end that way. So when Deadpool died and this is spoilers, right?
Yeah, fuck it though. Yeah, all the way, bro.
He fucking dies, right? Essentially, everybody thinks he dies. And fucking, I'm like, I didn't know how it was going to happen. And I didn't know it was going to be that whole shit with the fucking coin or whatever the case may be. But I knew he wasn't dead. So at the end of it, I was just like, this is stupid. Like, this is so dumb. Like, that whole ending part of it like ruined it for me. Before that I was fine, and then I was like, all right, so this is where we're at. Oh, and this is why Cable's gonna stay. Oh, okay, no doubt. Yeah, this place needs me. You've been in this like 8 mile radius the whole movie and you're telling me that this world needs me. Get the fuck out of here. I don't know, that's the way I saw it.
No, I'm glad though that it's a perspective like that you probably wouldn't normally see, you know what I'm saying? So Gary, what about you, man? What do you think about
Dave, I like Dave's thought, right, that he's about the story. For me, it's about the enjoyment of the experience. So I saw it in the theater. I said like an 8.5. You know, and granted, like I said, I really, really liked the first one. This is probably the most anticipated movie for me of the summer, in spite of, you know, Solo and in spite of Infinity Wars and Jurassic Park. I was personally looking forward to this one the most. I will agree that I thought some of the storyline was rushed. They tried to cram a lot of stuff in terms of, you know, death of the Vanessa, his downward spiral, his, you know, X-Men exposure, going to prison, the kid. And look, I'll be honest, I think they chose that actor for a reason, but he annoyed the crap out of me. Honestly, I thought he was, you know.
It's true. You don't have like brown people. Yeah.
There it is. There it is.
He doesn't have the hourglass figure you're looking for.
True, right? Maybe that's the case. I don't know. Maybe I'm biased.
But what I
will say, look, I saw all the previews, right? I thought the previews were well marketed. I thought like the Bob Ross one a couple months ago, just freaking, I thought was hilarious, you know, with him. The marketing was great, but there were still a few surprises that I wasn't expecting, you know, and when his whole cast of X-Force meets their untimely demise in the ways that they did, I didn't really see that coming. You know, I'm not going to lie and say that I thought that that was going to happen the way it did. Yes, I also agree. It was very similar to the Batman movie of all of a sudden we're enemies, now we're friends, right? You know, Deadpool and Cable, now we got to work together. It was very rushed in that capacity.
I'll admit, as far as the marketing, I actually went to see Infinity War a second time this weekend instead of Deadpool, and the Deadpool trailer came up and I'm like, I think I made a mistake. The trailer was fucking awesome. I was like, I think I should go see this movie instead.
It's a strong recommend. I think everybody should watch the movie. It's funny, entertaining. It's just it's not going to win any Oscars or anything. You know,
No, of course not. And I don't think it was supposed to. But I also think, look, it's not. Let's take it away from Deadpool for just a second. When you do something on a limited budget and you have to get creative, whatever movies come to mind for us, maybe, you know, at our ages from the 90s. You know, I think like the original Kevin Smith movies, like Clerks, or I think about like Reservoir Dogs. Is it Swingers? The one with him and John Favreau, so all these like kind of independent movies that have a good following that were a great budget, you throw in a big budget, it doesn't make it a good movie. And I think anyone that's listened to us talk about Michael Bay Transformers movies, right, it doesn't guarantee that it's good. I think there was a risk there, but I felt like the spirit felt the same, you know, without being completely repetitive.
Right. But like what I don't like is in the first movie, right, he pointed out all the flaws because of their budget that they didn't have.
True. Yep.
Right. That was what made it kind of funny in certain parts, that, you know, they're calling out their stuff limited. They missed. They're limited fucking funds, whatever. So this movie, he's like, oh, well, here's more CG for you, and like making it more like, you know, yeah, we got the money for you, and, you know, now here's some more crappy CG, but trying to make that funny. You know, like, it was too much to me.
Let it be
what it is. And just honestly, like, you don't want to show that you're working with a limited budget or showing off about it. Just go what you got and keep going forward.
I got a question. So, I mean, in the last movie, Ryan Reynolds pretty much carried it, right? I mean, we're seeing Deadpool for the first time, as people expect, I think, from the comics, right?
Yeah.
Now, he takes place in the X-Men universe, right? Now, I may get my brand ownership screwed up, but X-Men's owned by Fox. Deadpool is produced by Sony. Is that correct? Or am I wrong there?
No, still Fox.
It's still Fox. All right. So that kind of undermines my thing. But I was getting ready to say, you know, with who knows what's going on with the X-Men movies, but is there a stigma there that this takes place in the X-Men universe, but it's not the X-Men universe that should be happening or anything like that? I'm just kind of curious.
Well, you know, if you look at the end credit thing, you're going to mention that?
Let's just spoil like one of the gags. It's all spoilers here. And sorry, Brian, but you know,
I hung up a long time ago.
Well, you know, you remember the joke from the first one when he went to the mansion? He's like, man, it's almost like the studio couldn't afford more X-Men or whatever. So he said the same shit like in this one. He goes, you know, Negasonic, Teenage Warhead, whatever her name is, and Colossus. And he's like, man, this fucking, it's like this place is always empty. It's empty. Right. Why can't we see more X-Men or whatever? And he's talking. He has his back turned to a room. You see the fucking X-Men in the room. It's Xavier, Cyclops, Beast. I think there was maybe one or two other people in there. I don't remember. And then you see them just
close. They do the wings. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Angel. You know what I'm saying? And you just see them close the door real quick, and he didn't see them. You know what I'm saying? And it was all the real actors. It was McAvoy and the rest of them and shit like that. So that was funny. That was a cool little gag that they did there. So they gave them a quick cameo, and I wonder how much those dudes all got paid for that.
Yeah, right.
Oh man, you know what, Dave, I was similar to you. Like, my original score is 7.5, like kind of like coming out of the theater. And again, not that I didn't enjoy it, I had a good time with it. It to me felt like, again, more of the same like from the first one. And like sometimes like some of the jokes that he does throw out to me, like I feel like you're gonna get the easy laugh from somebody like that's younger in the audience. But for me, like some of that humor is like, now I don't want to say like I'm above it, but it's not something that's
kind of corny,
like maybe like ha 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 ha. Yeah, exactly. But everybody else like in the theater for that theater experience is laughing, so I'm like, hey, I guess it works, you know, for the people for most of the people out there. So, and you know, I when I watched it, I went with my girl, and you know what? She gets up very early for work, and usually she goes to sleep early. And we went to 8 p.m. showing where she's usually done. No, that's what I thought. But she was up. She watched the movie. She enjoyed it. She was laughing, and I enjoyed that. And I felt like I was the one kind of tired, and like felt my eyes drooping. And I was like, man, is that because this movie is not that good? Or I was just like, it wasn't that. It was just I was a little tired. Like there were certain parts like, okay, action sequence, the story, action sequence, the story. It was kind of like cut and dry. Like, again, we've seen it before. The stuff with Cable. I thought the CG and everything with him looked great, but the CG was spotty in like a lot of other parts in the film.
Let me ask you guys, spotty CG, like maybe I'm not as much as a connoisseur, but what's an example of shoddy CG?
Ryan, right, you're in my mind because
no, I'll tell you right now because
you ask the same
just,
thing.
Gary, you don't know after watching this movie?
No, I'm just saying like I guess I'm not as picky, or maybe my brain kind of knows what I'm supposed to be seeing, so it doesn't intentionally try and pick it apart as much, but it doesn't bother me as much.
Like frame of reference, the Matrix, the second Matrix. Like, I consider that shoddy compared to today's standards. You know, Neo is fighting all of the Smiths.
Yeah.
And then also, like, Leia flying through space for Last Jedi. I didn't think that was done very well. I mean, the scene itself I didn't like, but I think the CG looked kind of funny as well. Like, is that the kind of stuff you're referring to for this movie?
You know what? It's funny because in this movie, you get to see both. You get to see very good CGI and then spoiling it here. The Juggernaut's in this movie. He's like the main baddie, like at the end, kind of. So his CG in some parts looked really good when you saw like a close up of his face, and it was only for a few seconds, looked excellent. But then when you saw like his whole body and the CGI fight with Colossus, it did not really look that good. You know what I'm saying? And then like Dave was saying, like kind of they broke the fourth wall and were, you know, almost trying to play it off. Like Deadpool said it himself, like, oh, big CG fight coming up, you know, and everybody chuckles and that's exactly what you got. But like compared to like Infinity War, you know, and of course the budget's not the same. There's going to be limitations. You see Cable in certain parts of this movie and you see like his arm, you see him without his shirt, the way the metal looks, you know, infused with his body, it looked really good. And then you see a scene with the Juggernaut fucking that just looks like it's like it comes from like a PS2 game.
Oh wow.
It's just like, you know, like, and again, those scenes, like they kind of, the way they cut it made it like not so bad because those scenes were kind of cut quick. So when you're looking at the CGI, you could tell like it's like, you know, everything's happening so fast. It's like, all right, whatever. But compared to those scenes with Cable, the way they made him look when you saw him, I'm like, you could tell where they spent their money. That's what I'm just
trying to get at. Maybe for a topic for another show, not to steal Gary's stick, but who actually stole it from Alton Brown's Good Eats, if you guys watch cooking shows. Anyways,
Good Eats.
I mean, I would love to see or understand, you know, the budget for good CGI versus shoddy CGI, right? Like, to me, I mean, I'm in technology. I was like, I'll consider shoddy CGI the result of a lazy animator. But, or is it down to such a business nowadays where it's like, we can compute this scene for you for this much money, but if you want to, you know, knock down the resolution, we'll give it to you for this much money. Like, I would like to learn what that's all about.
Yeah, I'm wondering, it's true, because that is an interesting aspect. Like, I wonder if it's that, or if it's like, if we have more time to spend on this particular piece of special effects, we could add the pixels and the effects and make it look even more detailed, as opposed to like maybe having just a couple of hours to do it. So this is what you're going to get like in this amount of time.
Yeah. I'm wondering if there's manpower involved, or if it's they actually somehow monetize the computer cycles to refine the images. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's the intended message too. You know, if it's a big fight sequence, there's a lot of other activity that probably is, you know, viewed as being more forgiving and lets the budget go towards the more personal and up close, you know, kind of graphics for stuff like that. I was just going to say one thing that I enjoyed, and look, I'm going to really share something about myself here, which maybe I don't want on record, but it's fine. When characters come back in any type of sitcom or series or reunion, I enjoy that personally. So quick couple of quick examples. When Fuller House was released on Netflix, I will admit to watching all three seasons of Fuller House. And I didn't like Full House as a kid. I actually hated the show quite a bit. But it was fun seeing the characters as adults, you know, and kind of the tongue-in-cheek and that they kind of joke on themselves. Roseanne is a good example. I remember watching as a kid. My parents watched that show. I felt compelled to try and check out, like, this new series, right, and kind of see them later on as you know, adults and kind of see that. So in this setting, like, I really enjoyed that so many of the characters from the first movie came back again. Even the guy Buck, you know, in the bar scene, and he made a joke that, hey, Ryan Reynolds told him basically, hey, no more, you know, no more lines for you.
Yeah.
TJ Miller's character, you know, I thought was good. Al as his roommate was good. Obviously, you know, the cab driver depender was fun.
That was funny, like his storyline, like in this film. Yeah, like, I mean, he even had like a little like subplot storyline. So you know what, like it's fine because it gives you that sense of continuity from the first one, like, you know, it brings back those characters, so it brings back that familiarity and then whatever new situations that they threw at you in this one, you know.
So I gotta ask, and hearing what I've heard explained so far, was the fourth wall breaking a little over the top in this one? Because no more lines for you, here comes the CG scene. If I remember watching the first movie, the fourth wall was more along the lines of narration, right? But there was some like fourth wall where he comes and looks at you and says something, but dude, if he says like no more lines for you, that's a little over the top for me. Do you think that maybe is a detractor for some of the people that have given it a lower rating, perhaps?
No, I think they did it well. Like it didn't seem out of place. No, it was fine. Like it was very meta. Like those references are there. There's just like references like galore, you know, like, and self-referential, you know, like they very much like knew what they were doing. And that's kind of like why I enjoyed it. Like, so I gave it like the 7. No, but I, like after like I watched it in the theater, and then I kind of, you know, I got to view it in the same way Dave did. And so when you get to like watch it back again, it's like, okay, like, you know, you always do kind of like miss stuff the first time. You know, they're making no bones about what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They know they're not like going to be on a Marvel Studios like Infinity War type level. They're pretty much staying true to what that character is like currently like in the comic books and stuff like that. And Ryan Reynolds, you know, great job. So if you enjoyed the first one, like, you're going to like what you see here, you know, like, I don't think you're going to be like, eh, like what, I didn't like this, you know, if you like the first one.
Meets expectations. And if your expectations are high, then it's a win, right? All right.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it does. Like, you know, I'm sure they had a bigger budget for this one. And you could definitely, like, see it. You know, there were certain parts. I'm not saying, like, it's perfect. I mean, there was a lot to, like, enjoy. There was Nessa. Is that her name? The character's name? Yeah. So, like, her, like, dying, like, kind of, like, early, like, in the beginning and shit like that. Like, how that kind of, like, happened. It was like, oh, like that. And then that prison scene and what he was trying to do.
Does that bring him down to earth at all?
You know what, like he was just out of it because it's like, you know, the love of his life and you know,
it
just
does then
the way like the way it happened, it was like crazy. But then like just I don't know, man, just the slapstick, the comedy, just the way they did it, like I feel like anybody that enjoyed the first one is just gonna like enjoy it. Like, you know, they didn't really deviate from the formula.
There's another component, I think, to a good movie experience that people miss out on when you just watch it at home. And look, you know, it's like the soundtrack and everything else that goes kind of with it. And I think in the first movie, they had some very unique kind of songs from the very beginning, that slow motion sequence with the Suburban and like the mercenaries, right? And the song and all the credits rolling and all the little innuendos and jokes. Listen, worked in Celine Dion, Cher, and fucking Dolly Parton somehow, and it all made sense. With the storyline, like it really did, and it really fit. And I think, you know, when you put forth that much, again, attention to detail into something, you know, there's something to be said for it, you know, that I think it worked well. And that, look, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like Infinity Wars, like everyone complained about Ragnarok. I heard a lot of complaints, the yuck yucks, and it was too funny and it was too slapstick. And Ragnarok was the comedy of last year. Everyone kind of seemed to have the same consensus that Infinity War used humor to try and break some of the tension and the emotion and cutting between scenes, and it was much better applied. I thought they did a nice job of applying the same idea, using the musical context and the uniqueness to fit his personality of a character to balance what was happening in the movie. And it doesn't seem to happen as much nowadays as it did maybe 20 years ago, you know, in movies.
Yeah. And like some of the music, like in the scenes, like when he was seeing Vanessa, like, and, you know, in like the afterlife and he couldn't get to her, like, you know, like the music that they were playing during those scenes, like it fit, like it was very fitting. It was good.
Can we talk about the cameos and the people he got to be in this movie just for the sheer sake of it?
I was going to ask if there are any cameos in this one.
Yeah, just throw. Oh, okay. I didn't even realize one of the cameos until after I read it afterwards.
Who was it? Who was it, Jose?
The Vanisher? The Vanisher?
Yeah. So Brian, like, he's building the X-Force, right?
And oh my God, that was crazy.
They're doing, like, job interviews. It's kind of the format. It's like you see in the commercial, and there's different characters, and there's someone there, there's the Vanisher, and they can't see him, right? And the Vanisher ends up meeting his demise through electric wires in a parachuting snafu, and it's actually Brad Pitt, and you only see his face for a split second, and it's so fast you're almost like, was that really Brad Pitt, right? Was that really him?
And so you realize that.
And if you read the story, like, he did it for scale as an actor, which is as cheap as someone in the actors union can do, and he did it because his kids liked the character. And his other stipulation, I don't know if you guys read this or heard it already, but he basically said he would do that role and be the cameo at scale, super cheap, if Ryan Reynolds brought him a Starbucks to his trailer. And Ryan Reynolds, like, literally hand delivered him like a Starbucks coffee as kind of part of, like, their running joke about being in the movie. Yeah,
that's awesome. So, man, I didn't read about that. That's nice when you could, like, hear that behind the scenes kind of, like, story behind something like that.
And again, I didn't pick up on this one. Like, I recognized Brad Pitt, and I told my wife. She argued. She's like, "Was that really him? I don't think it was." Like, no, that was definitely Brad Pitt. But, like, Matt Damon's in it. I don't know if you guys knew that also. He was in Ragnarok. He's in a lot of, like, makeup, but he plays one of the characters when Cable first comes into the current timeline from time travel. He steals a pickup truck from a couple of guys having a conversation, and he plays one of those guys kind of out in the desert, talking about toilet paper and baby wipes and stuff like that. But yeah, that was Matt Damon.
That guy was
Matt Damon. But again, he also did it just because he wanted to be a part of the project, more so than obviously it taking it as an acting job.
Yeah, I remember watching Ragnarok, and I was like, I think that's Matt Damon. I was like, something's not right here.
Yeah, same thing. Like, it kind of, like, flew over my head, but I was like, oh, he looked familiar, you know. Yep. But I miss Brad Pitt in this one, and didn't realize that dude was Matt Damon.
Yeah,
you know, that's cool. And that whole X-Force shit was, like, funny too, because, like you said, it was completely unexpected. Like, he got the team together and whatever, and then it was, like, immediately they're wiped out.
And look, that actress, and I apologize because I can't remember her name, who played Domino. Look, I had no real knowledge of that character. Like, I knew a little bit in the comics. I remember reading that, like, I think she and Cable dated or had a romantic relationship at some point in one of the timelines. But I thought her kind of persona really fit as, like, you know, in that world, and she kind of came into, you know, her own and really carried, you know, as far as, like, a balance portion. I thought that was
my opinion of her, like, definitely turned, because when I saw her, like, in the trailers and all the promotional material, I'm like, like, she doesn't look like what I would expect. But then seeing it, like, in film, like, it was like, okay, like, it was cool the way they did it.
And she's not bad on the eyes, you know what I mean? If I was gonna be a polite gentleman for
I mean, you saw what I posted in the chat, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, exactly. Sure, exactly. Sure, that was like, wow.
Sure did.
I mean, again, enjoyable film. I would definitely, like, recommend it for anybody that wanted to see it. Like, Brian, sorry, you spoiled some of the stuff, but when you see it for the first time, like, you probably won't even remember, like, the shit.
Yeah, that you're talking about. I live in the moment. I don't remember anything that happens in the past.
Yeah, you know, if you drink enough gin and tonic, you'll be, you know,
yeah,
it'll be exactly. That's it. It'll be like the Men in Black, you know, when they flash you. You won't even remember the experience until you listen back about it.
Dude, that's a gift that's available. I recommend people use that more often. Erasing your mind.
Brian, erase this.
It's an audio podcast. Dave, it's not going to work.
Right, yeah. No one knows what just happened.
That's all that matters to me.
Hey, quick question. On the character, for those of you who know him in the comics, because I know you guys do. So mutant powers were bestowed upon him forcefully, whereas some of the other mutants in the X-Men world, of course, were born with this and had to deal with that stigma and the criticism and things like that of growing up in the culture, you know, in their world. But do you think with him having those powers forced on him is more related to his whole demeanor and stuff like that. Like, he didn't have to grow up with having to deal with being different and stuff like that. I was just kind of curious what you guys thought about that from
this. Brian, I think you're 100% right. I think it's like anything else. It's like you, if you come into money as like a young, you know, success story, right? In business or, I don't know, the entertainment industry, how many younger people have lost their fortunes because right. they weren't ready to deal with it? Whereas if you're older and you get that scale or that advantage, then you kind of are more mature. So I think that you're probably right on, honestly, if you really think about it. It's like he wasn't a kid trying to fit in with a bunch of other kids on top of everything else people deal with growing up. He was, you know, already an adult who had a worldly experience as a mercenary. Mm-hmm. Prior to getting the, you know, the changes put on him. So I think you're right on.
To be granted, he was a smart ass before he got the powers. I mean, at least from what I learned from the first movie anyway. I was just wondering if that is what was also, I mean, besides him being a smart ass, but if that was what also created friction with him and the other mutants, which seems evident. I was just kind of curious.
Yeah, I don't know if they've ever approached it from that angle, like in the comic books and stuff. Because again, you know, when he was first introduced, he was more like of a straight-laced, like assassin type character. And it was later on where they kind of changed it to what we know now, like with him breaking the fourth wall and all the comedy and whatnot. In the movie, as far as like movie terms and stuff, like, you know, they try to say that he was a mutant. It just kind of wasn't. Not all mutants are disfigured or whatever. Like, it just depends on what your abilities are. So what they were doing to him in the first one was just to bring the ability out, whatever it was, you know, like they didn't know, but supposedly he's just had the gene in him to be a mutant. But you know what? It's interesting, like to say, like the way you brought that up, because I don't, like, I'm not going to say I've read all the Deadpool comic books. I haven't, but I don't think they've ever approached it like from that angle of him, you know, not having to deal with the strife of growing up, maybe looking disfigured or being different like some of the other X-Men have had to deal with. And that probably would be an interesting like way to look at the character, but just the way they approach it, it's just like, you know, he's talking to you like through the page, you know what I'm saying? Like, so they're not bringing it to you from that like heavy kind of like angle, you know, like it's kind of like, you just know what you're reading is just going to be like a fun kind of romp. And, you know, you don't have to worry about like those heavy type of consequences, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, I'm glad from a character standpoint that they did give him the disfiguration. Otherwise, he's really got nothing to complain about.
True. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
And in a way, it doesn't hinder him because, you know, Vanessa, you know, loves him the way he was. Right, exactly. Like that, you know, what did you, you know, the end credits scene, like, Dave, did you get to see that? The end credits, the mid credits scene at the end?
Which one?
Were you able to view? There was about like five of them. Were you able to see any of them? Because I thought those were like some of the funniest like fucking scenes like in the film. Like,
well, I only could think about the Wolverine one.
Oh,
okay. I didn't get to see them all then, I'm guessing, because I think I only saw two of them.
Wait, was that there a Hugh Jackman appearance?
No, that was pretty much it. Okay, so
I'm gonna go see this tomorrow night. Wait, what's tomorrow? Yeah. Wednesday? Yeah. All right, Solo Thursday, Deadpool tomorrow. Gotcha. All right.
Well, dude, like it was nothing. I don't think anything new was shot. It was basically like a cut and paste from X-Men Origins Wolverine. But Cable had a time traveling device.
So we got to tell. Yeah, I was gonna say. So Brian, like Cable, right? He has a device to time travel, and he tells him in the story he can only use it twice: once to get there and once to get home.
Because he runs
and
out of
he decides not to use it. So then the X-Men fix it for Deadpool. So he's using it, but it's a very what's the word I'm looking for? It's like a very blasé approach to time travel. But he very quickly goes back and undoes a situation where Vanessa died, which was the very first 5 minutes of the movie. Yeah.
Basically the whole crux of the movie.
Yeah.
That led to the whole event. Yeah. Of the film, undone. Like gets basically undone in the fucking at the end credit scene. She dies in the beginning. He saves her in the end.
Yeah.
So but basically,
then he goes back through and he's like, he's hitting himself playing Deadpool and X-Men, you know, Wolverine, you know, Origins.
Yeah, that first
and kind of shoots himself, and he's making these jokes about that. He's just there to clean up the timeline and make things better. Then he goes back and sees himself reading the script in 2011 for Green Lantern. You know, and he's like, hey, finally hit the big time. time, and he's like, nope, he shoots himself there, so he can't like follow through and make the Green Lantern movie. So it's very mundane, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek stuff he's doing with time travel, as if it's not a big deal that he's able to go around and, you know, and just kind of like alter stuff. So it's,
that shit was hilarious. Like, yeah, I felt like, cool. Like when you got to that, like it just put that cherry like on top. Like if you enjoyed the film, like that kind of, that would bring it up that half a point, like I feel, for anybody that would see that.
And look, on a side note, that is where, unfortunately, my loving wife, who came with me, it took me 20 minutes in the car ride home to try and explain the studios and who has rights to what character and why it's a big deal to see Wolverine and Hugh Jackman, and how the Logan movie was rated R, and that came rated R after the first Deadpool movie, and why that first joke was made, and, you know, who is the bald guy with all the stuff drawn on his arms? Like, well, that was Ryan Reynolds playing Deadpool in 2004.
Yeah, exactly.
In a made up, you know, kind of, you know, so that led to a lot of explanations to a point where I'm like, I can't explain anymore. You're just not going to understand it.
And I know sometimes you're going to get like the hardcore like nerds and then be like, well, you know, where he shot him, you know, he wouldn't have killed fucking that Deadpool that Wolverine fought, you know, because he was fucking like invincible. You know, he just basically like shot him in the head, dropped to the floor, and then he just fucking blah, 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 shot him a few more times for like good measure type shit. Like Gary said, oh, just cleaning up the timeline. Yeah. But, you know, that Wolverine was like fucking invincible with adamantium, and the Deadpool.
Yeah,
that Deadpool was invincible, so it was like, you know, that wouldn't have done him in, but just for the fucking joke of it, like it was just funny to see. They did a good job there, you know, so enjoyable overall. Like I definitely recommend it. If Brink, when you can see it tomorrow,
we'll see if I get out of work early enough. Yeah.
Oh, well, dude, yeah, definitely like catch a showing. You're not going to be disappointed. I think you'll like it. And I think like seeing it officially like on a big screen is the best way to get that experience, because we're not going to get this on DVD or Blu-ray for like a few more months. So it's the way you got to do it. All right. Awesome, guys. Thank you. This was like an awesome discussion. Dave, you've been fucking quiet, man. No more gummy bears for you, bro.
Hey, I stuck it out. Human. Okay.
he's going to order a Domino's pizza.
Shit. I already eat ice cream and I eat baked Cheetos.
Cheetos? What the
They're baked, Gary. Calm down.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, baking the Cheetos is the same thing as everybody frying everything in an air fryer. It doesn't like make it good for you.
It's easier on the cholesterol.
Anything in moderation and stay within a certain eating window and you're good.
Pizza does sound good right now, though.
Yeah, he's got ideas.
You crack me up. David lives in New York City, home of fantastic pizza, and he orders fucking Domino's.
You want to know why, Gary? Because at 11 o'clock, nobody's delivering you a pizza except for Domino's.
Exactly.
Dude, that's all you it's New York. I thought everything goes like 24 hours.
Nah,
there.
I mean not in certain parts of the city, man.
Not in Dave's area. He's in that high class living where they don't have the mom and pop pizza shops.
So I always tell Dave, when I think about where he lives, I have this vision that every woman is like attractive with big hair and fake boobs. I don't know why.
He's not living in California. He's in
the street. No, it's Long Island. Isn't that the same way? It's like the same idea.
It's Long Island. Everybody has big hair and big titties, you know?
That's exactly right. Look, if TV and movies have taught me nothing, that is what they've taught me about the women from Long Island. So
what do you think? What do you think? It's the nanny. What is her name? Fran.
Yes, Fran Drescher. Yes. Yeah. So you got it. That's my picture. Thing.
She was from Queens.
No, but where you're at is just more suburb. You know what I'm saying? So you're not gonna get like a pizza delivery, like, you know, from some spot on the corner. But Domino's is not too bad as far as like a replacement. I mean, it's tolerable, right?
Hey, for the record, if you walk into like a local pizza joint and if they don't have a young like Italian princess working the counter, just walk out. That's all I'm saying.
Well, listen, let's remember this right now, because I'm sure, like, you know, in 20 years, like we might be able to teleport food to each other. Who knows where technology will meet us? So. Dude, like David,
imagine teleporting to work in the morning? That would be awesome. God, you could sleep in. It'd be awesome.
Oh my god, imagine. Just roll out of bed and be out.
Shit, I'm about to teleport my ass to my bed right now.
Well, thanks, Pop. Thanks for being here, guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, before we head out, like, just get the rundown and let the people know where they can find you on social media. So, Brian Brink?
Well, I guess I should elaborate a little more. But, yeah, so my name's Brian Brink, and I'm part of the Realm of Collectors. So, you can catch me on some of their many podcasts on their YouTube channel.
All of them.
And
I would say all of them.
All of them. I participate mainly in the geek-based Facebook groups related to collecting. I am on IG as a Brinkalizer, where I take a picture once or twice a year.
Yeah, that's right up my alley. I appreciate that.
Awesome, dude. Thank you. All right, next up, Energon Addict.
Energon Addict on Instagram. You can catch me there taking toy pictures once in a while. I do a podcast with these gentlemen on Tuesdays called Breaking the Mold. Catch me getting high in Queens, Long Island. The Bronx, Brooklyn, New York, East Coast, wherever I'm at. Manhattan. Doesn't matter.
Just look for a guy. Just
look for a guy. For a
Domino's guy on the corner. It's like, hey, sure. You're the Domino's guy.
That's me. Yep. Thanks, Jose.
No problem, man. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. G-Money.
Yes. I also participate with the fellows on this panel on a Tuesday show called Breaking the Mold, where we try and have some debates and themes around collecting as a whole and share a lot of different opinions. Gary Allen in the Facebook groups. I'm with Brian. My Instagram is pretty sparse. And when I do try and post, Jose has to talk me through some tutelage on how to fix it anyway. So Jose, thanks for having us kind of participate with you in your group. It was actually a much needed outlet for me on this particular topic because I wanted to share it and not worry about spoilers and not have to explain it, you know, in excruciating detail. So it was a lot of fun.
Oh man, no, definitely, for sure. And thank you guys. I want to thank you for being here with me and for being a part of my little podcast. You know, the conversation was great. I thank you guys again for being here. And like we do on Tuesday nights with the rest of brothers on BTM, just good talk, good conversation. You know, not always about the toys. We're just here. Good time hanging out with each other. Like we're here in our living rooms and stuff. And, you know, I'd love you guys to participate every week here on, you know, Verbally Chat and stuff like that. You know, just always just looking to try to do something different and pushing this out like on an audio platform, you know, as opposed to, you know, doing this stuff on YouTube and stuff like that. It gives it a little bit of a different flavor, a little bit more relaxed. You know, we don't have to feel like, you know, we're live on camera, you know, so we're kind of like on the clock type stuff. I really think it makes for like a different experience overall. So once again, I want to thank you guys for being here with me. I appreciate you all. All right, guys, that's going to be it. I hope you enjoyed the Deadpool 2 discussion, and we'll be back real soon with the next episode. All right, see you guys. Peace out. All right, guys, I hope you really enjoyed that discussion. It was a lot of fun for me and the guys, and I look forward to them coming back here and joining me for another discussion real, real soon. That goes for anybody out there that may be listening or is a fan of this podcast, anybody that knows me. If you want to have a discussion to throw here on the show, I'm more than open for that. So just hit me up. We'll get you on the show. Looking forward to the interaction between myself and the community. Guys, hit me up with some feedback. You could find me everywhere on social media, HurricaneBX. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Everywhere, HurricaneBX. So just hit me up, let me know how I'm doing, and hit me up if you want to be on the show. Some quick shout outs before we head out. Realm of Collectors, we have a website, realmofcollectors.com. We're on Facebook as a group, Realm of Collectors, and on Instagram at Realm of Collectors. Remember to pull up a chair to the rest of the shows on the Cool Table Network. It's a hub for like-minded podcasts. You can find the Cool Table on Facebook and links to all the other great shows that are available on iTunes and Google Play. Please check those shows out and show your support. All great shows that are on the Cool Table, a hub for like-minded podcasts, as I said. Once again, remember to check out Josh Fisher's GoFundMe page. A link to that will be posted in the description of this podcast. Please show any kind of support you can for Josh, even if it's just a message and some well wishes, or even just sharing the information for the GoFundMe is appreciated as well. They're almost at their goal. Maybe by the time this gets published, they'll probably be at their goal. The community just came through. Really, really, the community just pulled together for Josh, and Josh got a long road ahead of him, but he's in good spirits. Looking forward to meeting him and, you know, letting him know that he's an inspiration and glad that he's doing okay and on the road to recovery. So Josh, get better soon, brother. Hope to see you soon. All right, that's the episode, guys. Thank you for the download. Thank you for listening. Really, really appreciate it. We'll be back soon, real, real soon, with the next episode. All right, so everybody, please stay safe out there. All right, take care and peace out.